Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 105 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. Your host, as always, this week we again just have Kingsley Mack and Sin. We have a special guest, but how are you doing, Sin?
I am well, and I'm actually not coming to you live from a car this time. So that's a plus. So I've been well, and I had some days off this week, too. Oh, no, it wasn't bad, but you didn't have to edit it, so.
Oh, did you have to deal with some stuff there?
Oh, yes. Bluetooth picks up almost everything.
Okay, so for those, I'm sure we've mentioned it before, but Sin does the editing. I thank him very much for that of the podcast. So I don't know what's going on with all that stuff. I just run the podcast and Sin does all the actual work. And I hope it turns out right.
Hope for the best. What is it? Allstate, you're in good hands?
Something. One of those. I don't know.
But anyway, do your thing.
Yeah, actually, we have a very special guest this week. We have the Bearded Luke from the Destiny Nerds podcast. How you doing, man?
What's up? I'm great. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. I'm excited that we got to make this happen.
I know, and I'm excited that we have another Destiny podcast. I mean, people will often ask me, there's not that many Destiny podcasts. I'm like, there really are if you know where to look. I mean, not like tons and tons, but still. And I'm excited when I see new ones pop up, and I love hearing everyone's just different thoughts and views and opinions, because no one has a corner on the market, right? I mean, we all like to just talk about what we're doing. So I guess let's just kind of start with, what's the impetus of how you started this podcast, and what would you say you kind of like to focus on?
People that are listening will find this out eventually, but we actually just added a third co-host like today. We haven't announced it yet, but it'll be announced tomorrow, so it doesn't matter. Whenever someone's listening to us, it started as two of us. So I have a buddy named Havoc, and he came to me, and we've been playing games together since Guardian Con 2019. That's when I met him. And we just played Destiny on PS4. I'm on PC now, but we played on PS4 for a long time. And I switched to PC, and then we kind of like didn't, we obviously weren't playing with each other, but he just hit me up probably like some point during 2020 and said, yo, I've always wanted to do like a Destiny podcast, and I have this name that I already picked out, and I just need a person that wants to do it with me that has like a different opinion on the game than me. So he was like, it's called the Destiny Nerds, because we're nerds and we love Destiny, or we're just mega, mega Destiny lovers. And we'll just bring on guests as the weeks go on and talk with the community, as well as play and make this podcast. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And we got like a giant list of guests put together that we wanted, and we started asking them, and then like we were gonna launch in, I think it was in September of last year in 2020, like right whenever Beyond Light was supposed to come out, and then it got delayed to, I think it came out in November, I believe. So we went ahead and just waited until November, and then released it in November. And I think we're on like episode, forgive me, I don't know what episode, I think we're going to be on episode 15 on this weekend.
Yeah, I pulled that up. I was going to mention that, 15.
Yeah, 15. We try to do it weekly, but it's me, Havoc, and now our new co-host, his name is Maddox. So he's also a Destiny 2 streamer. We're trying to find, basically Havoc is like the PvE, complete PvE side of the game, and then Maddox is like scrim, like he does scrims, PvP, he's all PvP, and then I'm kind of like in the middle. I really like kind of go with both. So far we've had a bunch of really cool guests on. Like we've gotten we had Clyde on there, and Clintus and Patty Cakes, yeah. Master. We've had a lot of really cool creators on there, and my favorite part of that podcast so far is obviously talking about Destiny has been fun, but we've kind of like meshed into a thing where we talk to Destiny content creators about like them, just about where they came from and why they love it, and It's been super fun, honestly. I love it. So that's why I was pumped. I was pumped when you guys hit me. I was like, oh, heck yeah, I would love to come on another podcast and talk about Destiny.
Oh, man, yeah. You can definitely go down the rabbit hole there. We have a bunch of podcast friends where if you get on the circuit, you could be doing podcasts with a different Destiny podcast for several weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Not mentioning any names, Gator.
Oh, man. So, and it looks like you will do your podcast live. Is that correct on Twitch?
Yeah. So we do it live on right now. We do it live on Sunday nights at 10 p.m. EST on Twitch. So we go live and it's about an hour to an hour and a half these days where we actually, it's pretty cool. We didn't originally think of just making sure it was live. We just started doing it live and it was like a little, it was interesting because I think DCP does theirs live. I've never actually watched it live, but I remember them saying they did it live, especially when I listened. I'm like, let's try that. And then obviously we post it on YouTube and everywhere where you can. We use Anchor so that it goes to like Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all those places afterwards. Yeah. Nice. And so it's been interesting. I've enjoyed it so far.
Yeah. Well, yeah, more power to you, like finding guests. I know that's always probably like one of the most time consuming things, but the most fun things too of having a podcast, right? It's just getting to know the community.
Oh yeah. That's my favorite part is I just love talking to, cause I also stream on Twitch. Right now my schedule's kind of changing a little, but I stream on Twitch. So like just getting to know, that's how I originally started to get to know people in the community was just from popping in other people's streams or getting raided or talking to people or playing with random content creators. And now this is like a whole new level where it's like, well, who do we want to interview, but who do I also want to just get to know a little bit? Because it's cool to actually like talk to different spearheads of the community who, make this game even more fun. Because I think half the reason we all love Destiny is because we're talking about it so much outside of just the game. And you're like, your friend's talking about it and this person's playing it, or this content creator's making YouTube videos, or this person's streaming like right at reset when this happened. And that builds all this hype around this game. If none of us were talking about it, I don't know if we'd all love it as much as we do. I mean, we probably would, but that's what's been cool for me is just being able to chat with other content creators who love it. Just as like who are willing to stay up till 5 a.m. when they have to work at 9 to play, like do a raid. Like they understand that kind of love rather than, my friends at work are like, what's this? I thought Destiny was just Halo. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know we have another podcast friend that likes to ask the question to guests, how would you describe Destiny to someone who's never played it? And that's really interesting, right? Because for us, we take so many things for granted. But a lot of people may think it's something like Halo or it's this or that and not really understand it. And we know so many parts of the game. And it really is interesting how this game has such a big PvP and PvE element to it that I think a lot of people may not get that or really fully understand what this game is.
Yeah. They really, it's a complex, like I have a lot of people that ask me like, I want to start Destiny. What do I do? I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a very difficult question. It's kind of complex. Mm-hmm. Like at this point, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do. And I don't know. Watch this YouTube video. That's usually where I go. But yeah, I feel you.
Well, excellent. I definitely want to, in a little bit, ask you some about how you got into the game. But tell us just a little more about yourself, like where you're from, where you live, and maybe what you do.
Yeah, so I grew up in Grove City, Ohio, which is like a suburb right outside of Columbus, Ohio, right in the middle of Ohio. Most people know Ohio State. I live like really close to Ohio State University. I don't really care about Ohio State University. That's just what people like the Buckeyes. People love that. I've lived in Ohio my whole life. Me and my wife, I'm married to an awesome lady named Allie. We love traveling, so we like to go out west as much as we can. But all of our family lives here. Like Ohio's like really hometown feeling. It's comfortable. I've always loved living here. For what I do for a living, I do quite a bit of things. I'm trying to pull some of that back right now, but I'm a full-time filmmaker / content creator, I guess you could say. I own a couple businesses. So I own a company called ALC Productions. We do wedding films. We do about 20 a year. We're trying to pull back to like 10 a year, hopefully next year. We've been doing weddings for about 7 years now, and I feel like there's only like a certain amount of time people can do weddings, because holy cow, they're difficult and a little stressful, but it's been fun. And then me and two guys just started a company called the Sycamore Studio. It's a content creation co-working space. So basically like half of it is a co-working space. We have like a podcast studio and an edit suite and open desk space and like a consultation area. Then the other side is a 3,000 square foot fully rentable photo video studio with like a psych wall and like three sets and a gear closet and a giant glass garage door for if you want to bring like for natural light shoots, but also for if you want to bring cars in there and do shoots. So that was like a new thing that we just started this year, just opened like a few weeks ago. So that's been pretty cool. We have another like creative agency called Rooted Content that is housed inside of there. We do videos for restaurants and music videos and big hospital videos and clothing companies, product shoots, all that kind of stuff. And then I work for my church as the creative director. So I do like all of our live stream stuff, video, basically anything creative you can think of. So I got my hands in a lot of places when it comes to the creative world right now, which is super fun. A little stressful sometimes because I don't get a lot of sleep, because then I play video games at, 11 p.m. and stay up all night.
Yeah.
That sounds super familiar to my schedule. I am probably not nearly as successful as you are. That creative space, that business or business concept is very intriguing to me. And that would be something that I would... I've heard of in the past, but haven't seen too many of.
Yeah, there's not tons of them. The idea is like you can rent the studio to like obviously shoot video and do photo like a normal rental studio. But the cool thing is we have like 10 membership spots where people can pay monthly and they can work there. They get 8 hours of studio space and they get 4 hours of podcast room space. So like the idea is that there's like a place that if you're creative, you can pay monthly to work at and make your stuff at. There's not a ton of those in the United States actually at all. Like when we were like looking into how we wanted to do it. So this is kind of like our prototype to show the banks that it works, so that whenever we want to do a way higher and like bigger scale where there's like, private offices and like five or six studios and like a giant warehouse eventually, but like a bank isn't going to give you a big loan for that unless they see that it works, especially this kind of like weird creative thing. They're not very cool. Like usually the creatives are like, we'll see. We need some more proof that it's going to work.
Yeah. But your idea, I'm geeking out about it. I love it. I think it's so brilliant. I totally understand what you're saying. And I have some other questions. Do you use Premiere for your editing?
I don't actually.
Okay.
I usually stump a lot of people with this. Me and everyone that I work with at the studio too, it's a bunch of, like those dudes are like been doing this for like 10, 15 years, big time pros. And we all use Final Cut Pro.
Okay. No, I get that too.
Yeah.
I've
used Premiere. I edited in Premiere. I used to work for a TV show in Columbus for a long time. And we used Premiere and I hated it, but I know how to use it. I just taught myself. I learned how to edit on Avid Media Composer 5 in college.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Which is old. And then I was like, I want to learn something different. So then I got like a cracked version of Final Cut Pro on my MacBook and taught myself how to use that in college. And then I kind of got, I got really comfortable with it. And then I was using Premiere at my other job, and then I was using Final Cut at another job. And then I ended up just liking Final Cut, ended up being my baby. And I have so many presets and plugins I've spent money on in there now that it's like, I don't know if I could go anywhere else.
Sure. Sure. No, this is an excellent case study because I run my own business and I'm actually a certified Apple consultant. So I have many customers that do this type of stuff. In fact, I team up with one guy for one large corporate customer that they have an in-house video production studio. And I help on the server side because I'm more like the networking geeky, that guy. And we have like a high-end video server that they can edit live 4K off of. And then he has experience with editing and stuff. And I remember the whole thing when these guys were on Final Cut Pro and they wanted to stay on Final Cut Pro, but something swapped him to Premiere. So I always find it intriguing and interesting when there's someone that's still using Final Cut. And I know Apple was always pushing for that. They're like, don't move to Premiere. Final Cut's great. Final Cut's great. So
yeah, whenever Final Cut 10 came out, like when it switched from 7 to 10, it was like a nightmare for a lot of... I wasn't a part of it yet. Like I hadn't started when that happened. I'm young. I'm 28. I've only been doing this for like 7 years. But whenever that first switch, it was
that
like
was then, yeah.
It was like 7 was like more like Premiere, and then they came out with like this new like fancy looking interface, and it just there wasn't a lot of stuff in it that there is now. Like basically, I think it just put a really sour taste in a lot of professional editors' mouths. And then now that they've actually added like an incredibly large amount of things back into it. A lot of people are like, nope, I'm not going to that. That's like iMovie. That's for kids. That's for babies. We use Premiere. I'm like, I swear it's when you're using all Mac, like we use all Apple, everything like that is our ecosystem. And you know, whenever you're using their software, it's so like there's, I can't tell you how many times I had files, like projects corrupt in Premiere when I edited on it. Like we used to use the Mac Pro trash can ones, like those little ones. And we were editing on Premiere in those, and it worked. It was smooth, but like I'd be on like version. I'd have my finger was on control. I think it was control or was it command S or whatever it was. I don't remember anymore because I don't have to press command save or control save anymore. But my finger was on there constantly because I had to do it every 15 seconds. It auto saved in Premiere, but that wasn't enough sometimes because it would crash so much that like I'd lose stuff within minutes. So I'd have like.
Yeah,
it'd be like whatever TV show episode 1 version 2 B C. Like I would be like I would have already went through the whole entire like alphabet, and now I'd be on numbers after be like Z1. So I definitely don't miss that because I've never really, knock on wood, had any issues with like projects closing in Final Cut or whatever. But I don't know. I love editing Final Cut, and I use. Sorry, this is like completely different than Destiny. I'm just over here.
Talking about. Well, I'm geeking out. I'm guiding the conversation. Sorry if you're bored, Sin.
Oh no, I'm like going through this whole workspace, like business idea in my head because I'm
juggling multiple.
Yeah, I'm like, man, I wonder if I could pull this off. Like, how much did he actually spend to start it up? Can I be successful at doing it? Like, I'm going through the motions in my head. I'm like, man, this would be much better than my 70 hours in a week time frame in the car business. I'm like, yep, I could do this.
Yeah, it's a crazy world, that's for sure. The tech, like this whole filmmaking thing, and what I use for I switched over to a 4K workflow like 3 years ago now. So like I use a G Shuttle XL. Like, so you're saying you use like you have a server for that big business so they can edit like 4K off of.
Yeah, off of 10 gig Ethernet, yeah, they can all hook to the server.
That's
yeah.
amazing. That's what we would do if we had like a big... Actually, we're looking into that for the studio right now. But from my house, like when I edit here, I have like a G Shuttle XL 24 terabyte RAID 5 tower. And that
works,
that thing is a beast. It's so fast. But yeah, so that's what I edit in.
Oh, man. Hey, real quick. So you say you play on PC. I mean, this question may come up later, but do you do controller or mouse and keyboard?
I'm on controller. So I just got a PC last year, and I've played on a controller my whole life. You know, I've literally never played on mouse keyboard. Maybe like when I was a little kid and played like a Rugrats game or something. But this PC thing, I tried. I probably went like 3 months in a row where I was trying mouse keyboard, and I just couldn't get my fingers to get off of the right side of the keyboard because I have so many hotkeys in my freaking mind from editing constantly. Like I cannot get my hands over to the right, to the left side of like the WASD. Like I can still do it, but my fingers are just like, I don't know what it is. I'm a controller boy though. I just gave up.
You're
eventually.
In good company here. We both.
And you guys, I think, are both controller boys. Heck yeah.
Part of it is because I prefer playing on PC, but I play on all three right now, and it's easier going also back and forth on all three if you're just doing controller all the time. So that's another part to that equation, and then. When you're bringing up all this Apple discussion too, I was like, yeah, because if you're used to Command S all the time, and of course on PC, it's Control S, and it's probably going to get confusing if you're trying to do mouse and keyboard on PC versus Mac. So that's what I was kind of wondering what you do. So
yeah, I wish that I could play games on my Mac. I wish that I could stream on my Mac, but it's just, they'd, you know, Mac OS built
no.
specifically for that. So like, I like, I've had so much trouble with stupid Windows over the last year trying to get used to it. I'm like, how does anyone, like, no offense to anyone who listens to this. I've been doing stuff professionally and on a stinking Mac, like just any sort of Apple device for the past my whole career. So like, I have it, like I'm like dead set on it being super organized, and I'm in here like trying to like save crap, and like, and they, like their version of Finder is like this little folder, and it just like, it just stresses me out using Windows, to be honest. I don't know why.
Well, I'm sitting my, you know, obviously I game on PC, but my main driver is I have a new M1 MacBook Air, and that's what I'm recording on right now.
Yeah. I've been wanting to get one of those just because we've been shooting with Canon R5s, and the H.265 file doesn't run like natively on anything except M1 Max. Mm-hmm. The hardware, like that's the only hardware that that specific codec that we have, like the 10-bit H.265. So I'm gonna be getting, as soon as they do the MacBook Pro for like the Pro version of that, like the 16-inch, if that happens, like I'm gonna buy it the second it comes out.
Yeah, I don't blame you. These new chips are game changers. Like right now, it's funny, the 13-inch and the MacBook Air are kind of the fastest, unless you count multi-core performance, but they're kind of the fastest Macs on the whole lineup right now, even though they're the lowest end ones. Mm-hmm. And it's just because they haven't converted everything over yet. So once they do that on the higher end machines, it's going to be screaming. And also, this is apropos to, sorry, people who are bored listening to this, but you know, gaming news in general, you know, we have these backlog because they say all the chips are, they can't get them created fast enough for the PS5s and the mm-hmm. Xbox and everything. But Apple's in the best position because of the chips, the way they have them built. They have a different manufacturing process that they aren't backlogged on semiconductor chips like a lot of other companies are.
That really makes sense.
So Apple wins, basically.
Kind of. For us. Some people, a lot of people just hate them no matter what. But
well, I mean, they never push it on people. But
I mean, you have to know, Kingsley, that I'm an Apple fanboy myself. I just have never. Now, my wife has MacBooks and iPads for school for being a teacher, but I've always been PC and Windows based. Like, I haven't completely jumped to like a MacBook or a MacBook Pro for my like personal laptop or personal computer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean, the MacBook Airs, and I mean, I can talk to you this offline, but the ones that are out right now for about 800 to 1,000 to 1,200, right around that range. That's all you need to spend. And you can still say, like, that's expensive current PC, but it's a really good price for what you're getting. The computer will last you many years, super fast, blah, 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 all that stuff. But, yep, it's a good computer. You don't need anything high-end if you're just doing basic stuff.
Yeah, all right, you mean the M1s. These M1s are making it just so much easier to get into the lower end, and you can still do professional stuff.
And that's battery life is amazing. It literally goes, like, all day. Like, you can have it on and open like an iPad or an iPhone and go all day, where you can't do that with other laptops because they use so much less energy and power than like an Intel or an AMD chip.
Now, is this the same chip that's in the newer iPads that aren't in the iPad Pros that you said, you told me basically these would be the same or better performance than the Pros?
Yes. Yeah, they're all, yeah, I mean, there's different years and models of chips, but they're all based off this architecture called ARM, A-R-M. And Apple designed the chip, but then they have companies that actually make the chips. And it's not based off of the same infrastructure like what Intel does, or AMD. And because of that, they can make the chips smaller, so they use less heat and less power, and they're faster too. And that's why most people don't care or notice like the speed in iPhones, but iPhones have always been way faster phones than Androids. And you don't really notice that unless you're doing some game thing.
Side-by-side comparison, probably.
Yeah, but now they're using these chips in their computers also. And they've also been in the iPads too. And every year they have a new model that comes out. And that was just back on that discussion. But
Well, I was going to tell you earlier, you have my address because of that bamboo smuggling operation. for those of you who don't know, bamboo is that rum that I love. So, Luke, if you don't know, bamboo, and you like rum, and you like to drink, try it. It's great. But, yes, you could send me one of the M1 MacBook Airs. I would be happy to test that for you.
Send one right out to him right now.
Send the mail.
Oh, man. No, I was excited to talk about kind of what you did anyways. And again, sorry for anyone listening, I'm a little bit bored on that. But hey, this is about the guest. We are here for the guest. So that's what's important.
And now it's here for Kingsley because he's geeking out.
Well, Sin, any other questions for Bearded about like just life or personal stuff before we get into Destiny talk about how we get started with all that?
No, but he's more than welcome to slide in my DM so we can discuss this business space sharing idea.
Heck yeah, dude. I'm always down to talk. I'm down to talk business, anything. I'm an entrepreneur, so like I got ideas all the time. So whatever you want to talk about, I'm always trying to figure out how to make money somehow. So
right,
I'm in the same boat. I just need to get my execution down.
Mm-hmm. That's the hardest part. We all got ideas. It's tough to go like just to take that leap of faith and just do the next thing, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
When you say you like to travel out west, any particular places?
Yeah, we love Colorado. Like anywhere in Colorado, I want to live out there. My brother just moved to Oregon like 2 weeks ago, so I haven't been out there yet. But he just moved out to Oregon, so I'm a little bit jealous because it'd be sweet to live out there. And then my brother-in-law is moving to Arizona in a couple months, so I'm gonna have two brothers out west while I'm chilling over here in the Midwest in the flat cornfields of boringness. But if we go out west, we always go. Colorado is our favorite just because mountains. I live for mountains. I love hiking, and I have a Subaru, and we have like a rooftop tent that we throw on there so we can camp on top of it.
What kind of Subaru? Stuff.
Kingsley, curb your excitement. Curb your excitement.
I have a Forester Sport. It's all the 2019.
I have a Crosstrek Sport.
Oh, heck yes. Oh, 2021. Sport. You just got it then. Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Outback, that new Outback they just announced? I about pooped my pants. I want that thing, but it's probably like $50,000. So
it has an extra inch of clearance and as crazy.
It's like everything. It's everything I was gonna, because I was gonna get mine lifted soon and get all terrain tires and all that stuff. But I haven't. Like obviously, I can't find anyone in Ohio that does that because like nobody's needs to get their Subaru lifted here. We live in Ohio. But oh man, that's sweet. How do you like it so far? Because I just looked at that. I was watching YouTube videos with that car the other day.
I love it. I mean, I've had a Crosstrek since 2014 when they first came out, and I had an orange one, and then it got in a wreck. It was sad. Oh, and then in 2017 was when I got the new one. I got a black one, and it was just a premium. And then I saw 2021 that they finally increased engine power on the Sport and on the Limited. Like, I should test drive it. And I'm like, oh boy, I'm going to get suckered into it.
You're like, I'm gonna buy this.
I noticed a difference. So I was sold, and still I was able to keep my payment pretty much the same. So I'm like, okay, I'm going for it. So, yep. So I like it a lot. It's definitely a little bit groovier. I live in Utah. And so I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I love Utah. We drove out there too.
Utah's great. Yeah.
We went to, we stayed in Moab, like National Park, and we stayed in, that's like we camped there. And where else did we, because we drove I bought the Subaru like literally for a trip where we drove from here to California and back. And we stayed in Denver, and then we went through the corridor, and then we went into Utah, and we stayed at Moab, and then we went to Zion, and then we went to Los Angeles, and then we went to Yosemite, and then Santa Cruz, and then San Francisco, and then drove back. It was awesome. But we camped on top of the car the entire time we went.
That's awesome.
I love that, dude. I love that car so much.
I love trailing. I'm not as much as like an outdoor camper guy, but I do love hiking and trailing and off-roading and all that. And yes, you would love Oregon. That's where I want to retire to. That's probably my favorite place. My parents have a house, Washington, Oregon area.
That's
Colorado's
awesome.
Also probably like second favorite, and Utah's cool too. I live here, but I would rather live in the Northwest than Utah.
Yeah, I could see the deserty feel getting kind of old maybe after a while. I don't know though, because I live in the most basic place where that's summer and then it's winter and then it's spring and then it's fall and then it happens again.
Yeah, there's different areas in Utah, of course. There's desert and there's like high mountains, and Salt Lake's kind of like in between. It's like a high desert, but it doesn't look deserty. But
yeah,
it's fine. It's whatever. But Subarus are definitely very popular cars here. You see tons of them on the road. I guess it makes sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, the first time I ever saw, we drove to Colorado, and I don't remember what it was. It was like 5 years ago, and we drove, me and my wife's like Honda Civic out there, and there was like 500 Subarus, and I was like, man, what's everybody had driving these? And then I realized like I couldn't get anywhere that I wanted to go because I didn't have an off-road vehicle or like all terrain, like just like a 4x4 wheel or all-wheel drive vehicle. I was like, well, I want to go on this hike. Oh, can't, I can literally not drive up this road. So I was like, I need one of these. And we eventually got one. I paid it off quick too, because like during the pandemic, like this, here's something about me that happened this year that's pretty cool. The pandemic happened. We bought a house like 5 years ago. The housing market was like nuts. Like our house value went up to like, we bought our house for like 120 and we owed like 100,000 on it and it was worth like 220. So we're like, I had like a ton of student loan debt, like $96,000 I still owed. And then I owed like 20 grand or 11 grand on the car or whatever. It wasn't 20 grand. It was 11. I don't know why I said that. And then, we're like, why don't we just sell our house? And like, if we could find someone to live with for free, we could sell our house, pay off all of our debt, be debt free, and then just start over basically. Because I went to college and it was a big mistake. Like I went to college for this like video stuff and it was like I taught myself everything I know and I paid $90,000 to do that. It was stupid. I'm like an advocate for college for like specific reasons, but like for creatives, if you go to college, don't go to college for that. Just don't go to college for business or something and then be a creative on the side. We're like, let's just try it. So we were like, whatever. So we put our house up for sale. I had a really smart financial friend who helped me, and his wife sells houses. So like he helped me figure out that it was possible. And then his wife sold the house for us like within a day of it going on the market. And then on my birthday, I paid off all my student loan debt, paid off our car. And like now we live at my in-laws. And I'm like chilling. I'm actually in a basement that I helped my father-in-law rebuild like 2 months ago. So I was streaming, like doing stuff like this at like the church that I'm working at. The church I work at's also in an old like gym, like LA Fitness gym that we renovated into a church for now. So I had like a desk in there that I was doing my streaming from for a while. It was very stressful, but now I'm here and it's sweet. But yeah, it's kind of different. We're trying to live a little bit different than the not the average person. I just don't like debt. I don't want to be in debt the rest of my life. So we were trying to figure out how to get out of it before I was 30, and it worked.
Oh, sure.
Now we're like on this next journey of like how we kind of want to buy an RV and live in that for a while and see what that's like.
That's getting popular too. Yes.
Yeah. So we might do that for a minute and then just keep saving, because you can buy one with cash for like $5,000. You know, probably put like a $1,500 into it, make it look a little bit nicer. Live in there for a while and see what happens next. So,
well, if you, I was going to say, if you like that idea, I actually don't live too far from you. I'm in West Virginia. Oh, I have nice. A buddy that I went to school with. He's been, he's redone a couple school buses and you basically redo the whole interior and make it livable and you can travel around in that.
I've been looking at so many videos of school buses getting renovated, because I'm not very handcrafty. Like I can film stuff and I can like make IKEA furniture, but like,
but you're not a handyman. Like, yeah.
No, I'm not a handyman. I wish that I was. My father-in-law, he's taught me a lot of stuff since I've lived here, but, I would love, oh man, it'd be so sweet to renovate a bus and live in it. I've seen so many videos of those because there's so much more space in those too. Whenever you do it, you can like put like full houses inside of those things. They put like decks on the roof. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, sorry. That was another like random tangent in my life.
Hey, no this worries. Really gets us to appreciate, get to know you more. I think this will be an awesome aspect for people too. When they watch you on your stream, they're like, hey, I know something about this guy. So yeah. I really appreciate the discussion actually.
Heck yeah, dude. I appreciate it too.
Yeah. Let's talk about Destiny. You don't have to go into a long discussion, whatever you want, but how did you find out about the game and how long have you been? Yeah, I guess that would answer that too. Yeah. When did you get into it?
I can give you the story. So my buddy told me about the alpha. He's like, there's this game called Destiny. It's like Halo and Call of Duty mixed or whatever. And it's, you should download it. So I got the alpha on my PS4 and I played it for like 14 minutes and I was like, this is stupid. Deleted it, and then the beta came out, and because I was like a single player kind of guy, like I played Call of Duty in single player games and FIFA. Like I never played Halo. I still have never played Halo. I've played it like a couple times, but not like this campaigns or anything. And people are always mind blown by that when I tell them like I didn't play Halo, but Destiny's my favorite game. And so then the beta came out, and I got that on my Xbox One for some reason. And like, I remember just jumping around the Cosmodrome for like maybe 5 minutes, didn't kill anything. I was just like, oh, this is interesting. And then I deleted it. And then fast forward to launch night, I'm in college, and my buddy's like, and this is my same buddy who told me to get the alpha. His name's the Dr. Shabby. I went to college with him. He still games with me now. People in my community know who he is just because I'm with, like, I hang out with him. We have like a 1500 day Snapchat streak. Like, we go far back. but he was going into town to go get Destiny, his pre-order, and he's like, do you want to come with me? And I was like, I mean, I would like to go to Taco Bell, so yeah, I'll come with you. So we went to Taco Bell, and I got 10 fiery Doritos Locos tacos and ate all of them that night, starving. I like went in,
yum.
And he's like, all right, I'm going to go get it. Are you sure you don't want to get it? I'm like, ah, why not? I was feeling good. I just had 10 tacos. Why not? So I went ahead and went with him, and used to go stand at GameStop, and then like, even if you didn't pre-order, you could go like buy it right before. Like, you go up to the front of the line and buy it, and then go stand in the back of the line and wait till midnight. So we waited till midnight, got it and brought it back and play it. We had three TVs in our living room. We like lived in a townhouse, so we had three like 50-inch TVs. We were playing it on our PS4s. And we played, you know, all the way for like 3 days. We beat the whole entire like base campaign until you get to level 20. And then like, I had never done like these looter shooter things, so I didn't understand that wasn't it. Like, as soon as I beat it, I was like, all right, that's it, I don't have to play it. I beat it, you know what I mean? And I literally traded it in for Lord of the Rings Shadow of Mordor. And didn't think anything of it. So then I graduate college, I get married, and then like within all that time, like Crota's End, or what was that DLC called?
The Dark Below
comes out. Yeah, Dark Below comes out. Well, so first Vault of Glass comes out, Dark Below comes out, and then House of Wolves comes out. And I'm like out of college. My buddies are all still in college because I graduated a semester early so I could get married. So like, I graduated in December, and the game came out in September, and then like, I got married in March. So like, that like first opening part of Destiny, I started, and then I got rid of it. And then we got into, it was like March, around March, I was like, I got married, and I'm living in an apartment with my wife and staying up playing games. I'm playing FIFA, and I'm in a party chat with my buddies, my buddy, Dr. Shabby, who's playing Destiny with my other friend. And they're just sounding like they're having the time of their life. I'm like, man, this is like, I feel like I'm missing out on this. Like, I'm playing FIFA. Like, what is this? So I looked it up, and you could download like a free version of Destiny. Like, it wasn't a beta, but it was kind of like a trial, and it was just like the Cosmodrome. So I downloaded it and I played it with them, and it was during the House of Wolves section. So like, there used to be those key run things on the Cosmodrome where like you kill like a fallen knight or something, and then you'd have to go find you'd get a key, and you have to go find the little treasure chest with it. And I opened one and I got a legendary item. It was the first time I got any. I didn't even play the game long enough to get legendaries or blues at that. You know what I mean? I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
I got a legendary cape, and I'm like, ooh. And my butt, I remember Doc saying, like, he was like, ooh, Bungie just gotcha. And like, they did. Like, the next day I used to like lead a small group with like teenagers and for my church, and I made one of the teenagers. I'm like, does anyone have Destiny? And the one kid's like, yeah, my friend has it. He said you can have it for $5. And I made him leave. He walked down the street and got Destiny for $5 off his friend, gave it to me, and then I started playing it. And I remember like, I was like, I'm grinding. I remember like, maybe you have to like level up your Vanguard, and you could level up your Crucible and all that kind of stuff. So I leveled up the Vanguard to level 2 so I could buy the legendary weapon that you could get from it. And I remember doing that, and I was like, this is it, I love it. And my wife went on like a mission trip one weekend, and I think I played for like four days straight. I bought both DLCs, I was in. And then ever since then, I've been Destiny, like everything. Like, I love it. I don't have as much time now to play it as I did, because like, I, you know how it is when you yeah. have a lot of jobs, you don't really have a ton of time. I don't have a ton of time to play. But I play as much as I possibly can. I'm like, definitely completionist. I think I'm like a casual completionist. Like, I like to have every seal that you can get, but I don't have everything like gilded because I don't have enough time to gild. But I do have one seal gilded. I have my unbroken gilded. So like I'm kind of in that realm where I care a lot about, like, I waste a lot of time playing this game that I love, and I need to it to show for it somehow. So like seals are my way of being like, yeah, I play this game a lot. There you go. I'm sorry. So that's it. That's where I start. That's how it started. I've just been around it ever since. I started streaming because of Guardian Con. I went to that in 2019.
Okay.
And I went to Guardian Con 2019. I saw all these people in these incredible communities in person just meeting together and being like so hyped about it. I knew nothing about streaming. I watched King Cathalion on Twitch. That was the only person I followed. I didn't know anything. I didn't follow anyone on Twitter. I didn't know anything. You know what I mean? So I got done with Guardian Con and I had met all these people and saw these communities. And then I started looking up all this Twitch stuff. And I was like, I got to do this. I got all this gear and I need a fun outlet. And this is what I'm trying to still like keep going is I just stream. I just do this stuff for fun. Like I don't have like any crazy, like, I mean, I'm not over here like I'm a stream to get partnered and be famous and do this for a living. I don't care if I do this for a living. I just have fun playing video games with my buddies with a camera on like this right here. We're talking and have a good time. Like, it's cool. Just the idea that it's like whatever. It's 10 o'clock in Ohio on a whatever day this is. I know that it's not going to be that for everyone's listening, but I we're able to just sit here and talk about Destiny like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. So it's kind of where Destiny, that's where Destiny lives for me. Met some of my best friends playing this game. And
oh, for
it's
sure.
Pretty sweet.
You, one of the things you mentioned about the beginning, I've heard from some other people too, because I didn't actually start until just after taking King, but I heard from others also that when Destiny first came out, Destiny 1, it wasn't in the best state for a lot of people. A lot of people did drop off after they gave it an initial try. And it was kind of, I think I also heard that House of Wolves time period where at least was getting people to stick a little bit more. And of course, after King's Fall,
Taken King was nutty. Like, that was the first time I've ever, because it came out at 5 a.m. like my time. Like, it went live at that time for some reason. And so we were up at 4 a.m. sitting there before work, like, because we all had regular jobs at that point where we had to be at work at like 9. And we were up. I never woke up at 4 a.m. to go sit in front of my TV with my friends waiting. And then we got stuck in servers. There was too many people trying to get in. But we got in and played like the first two missions before work. And like, I don't know. I've never went. There's never been any DLC or any other game that I've played that I felt the way I felt about The Taken King, to be honest. Like, if they can do that again somehow, holy cow, that would be sick. Because that was like... The beginning of Destiny was very not broken. It was just empty. There just wasn't a lot there, especially because like they had to redo the whole game. I guess it was like the year before. If you read the whatever that Kotaku article was, it's like they had to like redo the whole thing. Some crazy drama happened before Destiny came out. And I could tell because whenever you played it, it didn't make any sense. The story didn't really make any sense at all. Because I remember being like, the music in this game's good, but that's about it. I don't really like it. And then they really started to get their crap together by the time Taken King came out. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Taken King was amazing. I mean, I'm kind of glad I started then. Like, there was so much content. And yeah, you're right. I tell people too all the time. I almost wish I could buy copies of just D1 for everyone who doesn't have them. Like, I'll run the campaign with you because the campaign's so good. I love Taken King. Just run that over and people haven't experienced all the raids there and stuff. Now, you mentioned you do a little bit of it all, and you obviously do if you have like all these titles. Tell us about, because I'm a big PvE-er and I love to raid. Tell us about raiding.
Raiding is like, it's hard for me to explain because, you know, you both know how it is. There's not really, when I talk to my friends about like raiding in this game, there's not really a good way to explain it other than being like, have you ever played a game where there has to be six players? Well, it doesn't. There's low mans, but there has to be six players, and they all have to communicate with each other to like do a specific goal. Never in my life had I ever played a game that was like that until I did VOG. VOG was my first raid, and when I just remember doing it, and I was kind of like a backpack raid. Like, they all knew what they were doing already. I just was just kind of there, but when I started realizing what it meant to like do mechanics where you all do these things and you beat a mission, and not a mission, like a section of it, and then you get gear that's better than all the other gear in the game, I love it. So I love doing raids. I try to do them. I did Garden Salvation. I tried to do day one and we because it was like I met the team the day before. But then the last raid, like this most recent raid, the Deepstone Crypt, we did day one, except I had to go to bed at 6 a.m. because I had to be at the church on Sunday morning at 7. And then my team, I'm still salty about this. So if my team listens to this, I'm still salty about this. They went, got a third, another person and finished it probably 2 hours after I got off, which stings because yeah. I'm pumped for them. But I also really, really, but so I'm very passionate about raiding. I like both. Like I said earlier, like I'm very passionate about competitive PvP, but I'm also very passionate about PV because I really appreciate that this game has those like two completely different aspects, but you can use the same weapons in both. That's my favorite part about Destiny.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny because I just had realized recently, or else I would have gone for this title also. And I think there was some confusion because even though it was never required, do you know what I'm talking about? For Garden, a lot of people thought at first you had to go flawless to get that title, but you don't actually. The Garden Raid. Yeah. I just realized that myself recently, so I'm very close to getting that title. I have, of course, Deepstone.
Heck yeah.
Title.
Well, you used to have to give a flawless for a Garden. When I did the seal, you had to.
Oh, they so it was it. You had to, and they changed it.
Okay. They changed it, yeah. So like, I had to get, when I got it, just like with like the hardest flawless I had to do was for Riven's Bane, or was that what it's called? Whatever one it is for Last Wish. That one's, doing Last Wish flawless is pretty tough.
Oh yeah,
it's fun.
I haven't got that one either.
You got to try it sometime, just to give yourself a heart attack because it's stressful. The only stressful parts are the jumping puzzles between.
I would worry even more so about because the one thing that I kind of don't like about and why I'm okay always doing the cheese on Last Wish is you still have the stupid Queen's Walk afterwards, so it's not like you're ending the raid right at Riven. And because of that, I would hate to like get that far and then on Queen's Walk, you know, die there.
Yeah.
That would suck.
That happened to us a couple times. Like, it's like for us when we were doing the Last Wish, like the, what are they, it was called, it's called the Queen's Run. I don't remember what, no, Petra's Run.
Petra's Run,
Petra's Runs. We, like, honestly, it would basically just be one try night because it would just get so frustrated if we got, like, because we would get to, like, you know, the Queen's Walk and then just some random thing would happen. You get booped into a wall, boom, like, that's it. You have to redo the whole stinking thing, which is a stressful raid to do flawless because it's so dang long. If it wasn't so long, it probably wouldn't be as hard. Kind of like, I take it back. That one wasn't the hardest one we did. I think that, Crown was the hardest flawless we did because the boss room is just like that last boss is like probably one of the most intense bosses in Destiny 2, I think, when it comes to raids. Can't do it now, obviously, but since they decided to take away content that we paid for, but that's a whole other story.
Well, real quick, favorite one or two, top two raids in D1 and then top two in D2, and you can count the ones that were taken away.
Okay, so my top two in D1 are King's Fall and Vault of Glass. Those are my two favorite in D1. And then D2, my favorite are, ooh, that's a good question. I'd say Last Wish and Garden. I haven't done Garden in a while, but I really like Garden. I think the mechanics are really interesting in that raid. What about you guys?
Sin?
Well, everybody knows my favorite D1 raid is Wrath of the Machine.
Heck yeah.
I mean, for D2, I don't know. I've really become infatuated with Deepstone, obviously, because it's the newest one. Mm-hmm. So a current favorite is definitely that.
Heck yeah. I love Deepstone. I think I like it because it's like super learnable for new people. Like, it's not something that you're going to be sitting in for 10 hours straight if there's like new guardians in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't seem that late when you're doing day one, though.
No, day one. Yeah, we spent 10 hours on the second encounter. Like, that was stressful.
That's where we got stuck. We tried day one and on the second encounter.
Yeah, the stupid. That room took us so long because of the. That was where contest sucked, was whenever there was that one where we kept failing because he would go get enraged because we couldn't damage him fast enough.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Good times.
Yeah, and I'd agree, Sin. Wrath is my favorite in D1. I think it was just because it was the first raid that was like my raid that I learned from playing the game, because I started after Taken King, you know. So all the other raids I had to learn from other people. But Wrath, I was learning with people alive, you know. And so I could Sherpa a lot of people through that. And then in D2, I love Deep Stone, but I kind of want to just go with some that are taken away, and it would either be Crown or Eater. I just love those little raid layers.
Yeah, those were always fun. And Leviathan in general, including the raid layers, you know, that's, I do kind of miss going back and getting to do that every now and again. You know, granted, I probably wouldn't want to do it every week, but to be able to go back and do it, you know, in these downtimes when maybe content's a little bit lower would be fun.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. I loved Leviathan. I have good memories of Leviathan because that was the first time I ever had like a real raid team. Like in D1, I always LFG'd. I only ever played maybe like with three people that I knew in raids. And then we had like six of us that I met these guys from California in D1 because I play games so late. These guys would just be getting on whenever I was still on. Like it'd be like midnight, and then, you know, it's not that late there. So there was six of us, and we played Leviathan every week. It was like the first time I ever got to do that. And I remember that being a cool feeling, like not having to teach and figure out how on earth each player plays. It was like, we all had our thing.
Yeah.
And that was really special. So like Leviathan has a special place in my heart because it's the first time I got to like do a raid with like all friends. Whereas in D1, there was never a point where it was like six of my friends. It was just random people from the app, the LFG app on the Bungie app that I used all the time in the middle of the night. And it was like, you have to have Gjallarhorn, you're not allowed in kind of thing.
Oh man. Yeah. That's why these Discord groups are so much better. You can,
oh, they're amazing. I agree. Yeah. I love,
you know,
Discord.
Chill people that are willing to teach each other, you know, assuming we know it's someone that's coming in that's not familiar with the raid ahead of time. We know that, we're cool. We're like, yeah, awesome, we'll teach you it. But with the LFG, you never know what you're getting.
Exactly.
When we were talking about the raiding, it reminded me too, I'm excited about next season. This got leaked out this season, but they said, oh, it's not actually until next season. We're going to be getting weekly featured raids.
Oh, heck yeah. That's kind of like what they did in D1, right? Where they had like in the weekly playlist, it'd be like the raid of the week.
Yeah.
Is it going to have anything? Did they say anything special about, is it going to be like extra gear or anything, or just like?
They didn't. It was just in the patch notes when this season started, and it didn't say much except for something like weekly featured raid. I forget what it even was. It was pretty vague. And they're like, oh, whoops, that's not supposed to be in there. That's next season.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And
I love when that happens.
All we can assume, obviously, we're getting Vault, so we should have four. So we'll have Last Wish, Garden, Deep Stone, and Vault. Because I'm sure, unfortunately, none of the other ones are coming back. So still, though, that's four, you know, a weekly rotating raid that will obviously have something special about it, like extra drops or extra spoils, or, you know, maybe you can, the weekly one you can run over and over even on the same character and get pinnacles, you know, something to make it special.
Heck yeah.
Maybe put some more challenges in.
Yes. Oh yeah. I miss the hard mode slash, like, this is a whole other conversation probably, but I miss the normal mode, hard mode, like that they did in, basically, whenever Taken King came out, they built the whole raid as the hard mode, and then they took some of that out for the normal mode. I wish they did that with every raid, so that like even like for like the weekly thing, it would be like the hard mode raid plus an extra challenge or whatever that gave you extra loot, anything like that for a PvE hardcore people, other than just adding like a stinking champion or whatever.
Yeah. Now, I think they did also say with Vault, and I don't know if they built it this backwards way, but again, maybe they're just taking the base from D1, but Vault will eventually, not at the beginning, but also have a, quote, harder mode. I forget what wording they used, like a challenge mode or something. So that's good news, too.
That's super good news. I can't wait for that to come back. I'm about to go play it on my PS4 soon so that I can get ready for it.
Yeah, you know, I have mixed feelings. I mean, I'm super excited for it to come back, but I've run through it a couple times the last few months, and honestly, the mechanics are kind of boring in my opinion in that raid. I hate to, I'm not trying to take anything away from you. That's just my opinion, but
it's all good. It is.
Yeah.
I haven't played it in a long time. So like I might I have to play it again just to see, because I haven't. I don't even remember. It's my second favorite raid, and I can barely even remember how to do it. To be honest, it's been like 3 years since I've done that raid.
Yeah, I think when you see like how much raids have changed, that you'll see like, wow, this is quite a different feeling from. They'll have to change this a little bit, but how like encounters will start without you getting to start them, but then also shooting oracles and defending confluxes for like, it seems like 20 minutes, and it's not really, it's kind of just almost boring.
That is definitely not fun and very terrible if you screw up, because you have to waste another 20 minutes doing the exact same thing.
But the end part's good enough. That's for sure. I think it's more just that middle encounter.
That's true. That I've always hated the Oracle section. I used to get a boss checkpoint as much as I could, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that may be. And who knows? We'll see how this all goes.
Yeah, that's like been the big debate with everyone, is the world's first. Like, should there be a world's first for a raid that already had a world's first? Even though they're adding like the special like things. They're adding like special triumph that you have to finish to get the belt, but someone already won the belt for it. So it kind of seems unnecessary, but I don't know.
It'll be a gilded belt.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a gilded belt. There you go. It'll be orange.
That's funny. That is funny.
They'll put LED lights on it so it shines a little bit.
Vault of Glass reprised. It's not the OG Vault of Glass, but it's still something.
Yeah, I love it.
We know what you like to do in the game. What would you consider your main character subclass to be?
Oh, yeah. I am a hunter all day, but I don't have a subclass that I like stick to. Probably I swing between gunslinger and just avoid anything, because I love both of those. I don't ever use I barely use stasis. Like, I actually haven't finished any.
Even in PvP?
Yeah, I don't use it in PvP.
Nice, nice.
I like to think I'm, what is it? Like, I forget. Someone said something stupid the other day, whenever I said that I didn't do it. And it was hilarious. If I remember it, I'll tell you. But I don't use it. I also, like, don't have all the aspects unlocked, and I haven't finished all the quests for it, just because, I don't know. The older I've gotten into gaming, the less time I take like reading stuff. Maybe like that's just because I'm lazy, but like reading into like exactly what this whole new stupid subclass does. I'm pumped about there being new subclasses. I'm just like, dang it. I already know the three ones that I really like, and I know how to use them. Now I have to learn another one, and I have to unlock all them with all these little other things. Ugh. But I'm cool. I use stasis sometimes if I have to in PvE, but yeah, I love guns. I was a gunslinger in D1 for like everything, so I do that as much as I can in D2. But whenever I'm usually, I still call Blade Dancer an accident, but mm-hmm. I still, what is it called? Like I still forget it. I literally use it constantly, and I get made fun of this all the time in my streams because I can't remember the void.
Well, it sends the Titan in this group, and I'm the Warlock, but you mean like the tether thing? Or
No, not or, tethering, no, not, the one underneath the that. One.
Oh, yeah, the other one.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, I should know it. I use it constantly.
Yeah.
And it's not Blade Dancer, because that's...
Spectral Blades?
Spectral, sorry. So I get made fun of, and that is like a thing in my community, is Luke uses Spectral as a main, but doesn't know what it's called all the time. I will admit it. I'm always the guy that's like, that one gun, like I know exactly what it is. I just can't remember names for some reason. I don't know why. You think I should know since I host it's a podcast about this game.
Hey, so what you're saying, Kingsley, is we should break out the Kingsley's mystery segment of pronunciations.
Oh boy. We already did that on another podcast. I don't have any new one to add except for, I will bring this up. You know, tomorrow we're having the developer ride along, or they're going to, you know, show us this mission in detail, kind of like they do with the raids and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that they're going to pronounce it the way that they pronounce it in the game that Osiris calls it, that 90% of us get wrong. It's not presage, it's presage. And it'll be really interesting, intriguing if the devs, when they have the stream tomorrow, if they actually say presage, because then we'll be like, Bungie's saying it two different ways.
What is it? what is it?
Yeah.
I just say presage, like a real, I just go presage. We're going to do presage.
Yeah. Garrison, get some presage over here, please. That's all good either way. But yeah. Oh man. But yeah, even last episode, I was trying to look something up. I couldn't remember what the name was then. We'll roll with it. We'll go on the fly with what things are called.
Yeah. Like I play this game a lot, but realistically I play like 2 hours a night, if that. So I have buddies who sit here and play this for 7 hours a day, every single day. So they obviously should know the names, right? Cause they're hearing them and seeing them constantly. I am a hardcore player in my heart, but I am a casual player realistically when it comes to trying to balance my work life and sleep with playing this game. I wish I could play it more. I'm going to get to a point one day where I can at least play for like one day a week for like 6 hours, possibly. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, that's always the interesting thing. It's like, are you the type of person that would prefer that? For me, I'd almost rather play like 2 hours every other night. I don't know, 6 hours. I guess when I'm raiding, though, I'll gladly sit down for 6 hours, but it just kind of depends on the activity.
I think maybe the 6 hours thing is more for like whenever stuff first comes out, and then if I'm trying to go flawless too, like that usually sometimes doesn't. Sometimes that's like an hour, and then sometimes it's like an 8 hour thing, depending on the day. But yeah, like right when content comes out, I'm like addicted. I'm like, I want to play for 10 hours a day. Like, come on, I want to get everything now. And then I usually take like a week off, or not a week, usually like 3 days off whenever new content comes out, and it like spoils me because I like. The little kid in me desires to play video games all day, every day. So when I get to do that for like 3 days, I'm like, oh my God, so fun. And then I have to go back to playing 2 hours a night. I'm like, dang it. Now I'm so far behind.
Mm-hmm.
But still have fun.
Well, speaking of playing, we know Sin doesn't always get a lot of time, and we like to joke with him about Sin. Live update. What are you doing in the game right now?
Funny. It's kind of funny. I'm actually doing Altars of Sorrow. Yes, I know it's not very important right now for anything that's going on in game, but I haven't done the catalyst for the bow for the season. So I'm just doing a bunch of bow kills right now, mindlessly running around.
There you go. It's a perfect place to do it.
It's a good place. Yeah.
I spent a lot of time in there doing, there was a season where I had nothing left to do. So I had never finished a catalyst. So I just went to Altar Sorrows and I just did Catalyst for like a week straight, like just all day. I would just sit there shooting stuff. Well, not all day, but you know, whenever I'd stream or play games.
And I'm close too. I've been from like, I don't know what it was when I started, but maybe 10 or 15 minutes ago, it was like 50-ish%. I'm at 87 now.
Heck yeah.
And we made it to the boss round. So
you're flying.
Oh man.
Well, I wanted to bring up one quick topic here in the news in the TWAB account this week, because I almost feel like, and maybe some streamers were talking about this a lot, but I feel like the community, I don't know why I'm super excited, but they aren't making a big deal of this as I feel like they should. I don't know if you know what I'm getting at, but the thing that's coming next season where the Gunsmith and Ada are going to have weekly weapon refreshes of random roll weapons that we can pick up from them. And armor.
Yeah, that's huge. Like,
that's huge. D1 had that, right? That's where I remember the week exact. Well, not when it was, but that's where I got my God roll palindrome. Was the Crucible quartermaster guy was selling it. And everyone's like, this week, get it. Go there and get it if you don't already have that roll. And I remember logging in and getting it.
So, I remember when I first did Destiny 1, I was at the same time you were, Kingsley, you know, taking tot phase. I used to watch these videos by Blessius where he used to take those random rolls, and he doesn't do it anymore, of course, but I used to watch him all the time, like random roll updates. He'd take them into the Crucible and give them a rating out of like however many spots out of however many tacos or whatever.
How many? One through 10 tacos,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 1 through 5 or something like that. But yeah, it's a nice aspect that they're bringing back. I think it's a good choice.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, yeah, you said you're excited for that too, Luke.
Yeah, I love it. I love the idea of them finally doing some sort of refresh, because Destiny 2 has just been literally the same stuff. Like you get new stuff in a DLC or an expansion, and then for 8 months or whatever, 4 seasons, you get the same stuff forever. So like the idea of just some, like the word weekly reset can kind of mean something, because not just like resetting pinnacles is going to happen. It'll actually reset weapons so that we have something to look forward to, and it'll be great. It should be, content creators should be hyped, especially YouTubers. They have something else they can cover weekly, you know, that's different.
Hopefully. Exactly.
Hopefully it's not like 3 weeks in a row of like of random ones, and then you find out it's just the same stuff, the same roles are just rotating every 3 weeks. But
yeah, hopefully not. I mean, they said it's from the world loot pool, so hopefully there's enough actually in there that can add even more next season. I mean, obviously this is going to be a thing where like a lot of the weeks will just be eh or whatever, but still good for people that maybe don't have that weapon yet, or at least that's a good enough role until some god role comes out. I still think either way, this will be a plus. Hopefully, yeah, content creators can make those videos, and we can get excited whether we're logging into Reddit or some Discord bot or someone's YouTube channel on Tuesday and say, hey, what's out this week?
Exactly.
So, and you're going to make weekly videos for us?
I barely have enough time to do the stuff that I need to do now.
Who invited this guy?
Sin's like, I can barely have time to do this podcast right the second.
And plus, just like, you know, hearing Luke tell him how, you know, how busy he is. Luke, do you have kids?
No, not yet. That's why I can do so many random things.
Well, I have 3 kids. I'm still trying to juggle.
Oof. Yeah. Once I have kids, I don't even, like, I'm just going to have to quit something.
Right.
Yeah, truth. And mine are a little bit older. It's kind of the state now, too, where I have more time. But it's, yeah, it's, you know, for sure, saying having kids is adds extra. But boy, there's always things in life. I don't think anyone games as much as they want to, even if they, it's one of those moving targets, right? I mean, we're getting all like deep and philosophical now, but even if you didn't have any other responsibilities and you could game all day, and then you're like, have to go to bed, then you're like, I still don't have enough time to game how much I want because I have to sleep now. And
yeah,
so it's one of those things. It's always a moving target.
It's funny that you say that, because I'm like actually going through this weird section of life where I'm trying to finish just today. Like have decided like I'm going to pull back a little bit from streaming just because it's like it's fun and it's a really cool outlet for me to play games and stuff. But like I literally like start at 11 and we'll stream till 4 in the morning and then go to work at 9. Like it's actually physically affecting my like work life in my regular life because I'm so stressed. And a lot of that I think is attributing to me just like literally staying up all night playing games. So I'm pulling back. I'm going to try to pull back a little bit and see if I can like play at different time frames or like not have to worry about like, cause like this could be a whole nother thing. I don't know if you guys stream on Twitch at all, but like, it's like a whole nother beast that gets in your head mentally. Like it's like a whole mental health thing for me where it was like supposed to just be a fun outlet where I played video games, but now it's turned into like number bait, like numbers, viewers, this and that, all this stuff. Like, that is not even the reason I did it in the first place kind of thing. And I've been actually just kind of dealing with that a little bit over the past month. So I'm going to start pulling back a little bit from streaming. I'm actually going to take a break for the next like month just to see what it's like to just play games like every once in a while and still like be on Twitter and stuff during the day, you know, talking to my community on Discord, but just to see if it like makes my mental health any better that I can like go to sleep at night, you know, like with my wife and wake up at a normal time and not be an hour late to work every day because I doing a raid till 5 a.m.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons why I've never really had a desire to stream on Twitch. I could have done it a long time ago. I've known about Twitch for a very long time, probably could have been one of the early adopters. But at first, I didn't really have a desire. I'm not as much of an outgoing person. I'm like, I don't want myself out there. But then just seeing some people that had started it, and I'm like, no, it's not for me. I don't want to feel like obligated to. And I know you don't have to, and everyone says you can do this, do that. But like you said, even if you don't have to or don't want to, it can still start going that direction, and you have to decide, is this what I want to do?
It gets in your head. Like, it's like there's these people, especially once you like get a sub button and people start subbing you and giving you money, it's like you kind of feel even more obligated to do this. But at the same time, which it's kind of unfair in a way, you know what I mean? Cause I streamed to escape like the stress of content creation in my real life. So like now it's like, oh crap, I have to like entertain again for money here as well. Like it's like, it's almost like I want to be like, can you just unaffiliate me so I can just do this for fun? Mm-hmm. Which you can do technically, but I'm also thankful for it because at the same time, I'd be like, I stay up all night streaming. Like if I'm going to do that, I might as well make a little bit of money doing it. Right. So,
right.
It's a tough call, but I'm glad. Yeah. You bring this up because it's good for people to hear and really just be aware. If you're going into it, understanding these things and have a plan and, you know, you can still get in a great or a bad situation, but at least you have more, at least hopefully knowledge to be a little more informed on how things are. And we're all about promoting people. And there's a lot of people in our groups that are trying to get started. And if, you know, of course we're getting to know you and we want to promote you to the community, but I think also these Discords that we have are really a great place for people to give everyone support. And we have a lot of people, when you talk about like mental health too, we have a lot of, I don't know if you've even heard of Guardians MH, Guardians Mental Health.
I haven't, no.
Yeah. They used to be called St. 14 Project. And a lot of our Discords are kind of like in these sister groups that have been around for quite a while. And they're one that started with people playing Destiny as their main focus, but now they're actually a nonprofit corporation now. And some of those people are in our Discords in different places. And I think it's good where we can have people know that we're not afraid to talk mental health and people can ask questions and just talk about stuff. Because I guess what I'm trying to say is if the Discords weren't around, it would be a lot harder for us not being able help each other out.
Yeah. Cause it's easier. Cause if you're like, dude, if you're like, man, like I want to talk about something, we pop into a Discord chat and just be like, oh, listen, like I'm dealing with this. Cause that's what I'm saying. Like with this whole thing, like I admit that streaming has like mental, it's like I've always had a very strong, like my mental health has always been really strong. And I don't know, I've just been like more sound in that department. But then I started streaming and like getting stuck in like the idea of like, you need to be successful and you need to get this. And this friend is doing it. And jealousy comes in with that. It's just like my mental health is like not doing great inside of what streaming and this game that I love is. And I like, I'm the first to admit it. And I want to talk to people about it because if you hold that stuff in, that's when it gets really bad. So it's really cool that you guys have the opportunity to like, you know, chat with somebody on here about, like, I have people that do that all the time in my Discord, like late, some of my best discussions I've had with human beings is at 5 a.m. after I'm done streaming. They're like, dude, I want to talk to you about some struggles bad. Cause like, I come from like, I don't know about you guys, but like I said, I work at a church. So I have like a really spiritual background when it comes to like my life. And I'm really open about it with people. And I don't know why, but for some reason that makes people want to come chat with me more about like things that they're dealing with in life. I don't know if that's just cause I don't know why. I just am more open. I've always been open to be like, yo, if you're dealing with something, hit me up. Let's talk about it. So we have a lot of talks about mental health in my Discord with people about just like those, like, dude, I'm struggling with this, or I'm depressed about this or that. And we're able to just talk and listen and like spit it out. And that's what, like, that kind of stuff means so much more to me than like if I had a good freaking stream. Like, I'd care less if I got any viewers on a stream. If I can have a talk like that afterwards and like have another relationship where it's like, oh man, I'm dealing with mental. That's why the same with me. Like, I have friends on here that have talked about this stuff with me whenever I'm dealing with it, where I'm like, dude, I'm really down right now about this one thing that doesn't actually matter, but it's in my head. You know what I mean? And sorry, this has gotten like very deep right here, right?
Oh man, we appreciate it. Actually, just there's no right or wrong for what our discussions are. So.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, that's where I'm at right now. You caught me on a good night, because, well, not a good night, it's like a good night and a bad night. Like, I just literally today decided, like, yeah, I'm gonna see what it's like to take a break from the whole streaming thing for a little bit. Even though I've had good momentum, like we've had really good momentum, it doesn't make any sense to stop, but for my head it does, and for my life, because it's just, I'm stressed in life right now, and I want to get back to where it's like, my wife is like, she's like, I want you to like want to go downstairs and play video games because you want to go like not be stressed. Go downstairs and have that counter up that shows you how many people are watching you and care about that at all. I'm like, man, you make such a good point. My wife is the best. Like, she's one of the most wise people I ever met. I'll tell you what, like, she tells me, you know, like, how people never, like, will just tell you how it is. Like make you have to, like, hear the thing that you don't want to hear. Like, she does that to me, not in, like, a rude way. Just is honest with me about stuff in life. And I'm glad that she does that. That's why I'm so thankful she's my companion. But she hits me with the facts sometimes, man. And you just don't want to hear it. But
right.
I'm glad that she does. Holy cow.
Yeah. No, but seriously, I really appreciate you bringing that up, because I think it can maybe even help just one person out there who's, you know, if they're don't understand how things can be, or if they're having a hard time, or if they're not sure what they want to do, then they can get some experience from you and others. And this is only a good thing.
Yeah.
Now we do need to start wrapping it up, but before we go, I just always like to give guests the opportunity, if there's anything else we didn't talk about, your thoughts on Destiny, how you hope things are going, or any topic on your mind, you can start, you know, bringing that up right now. No worries either way. But, you know, I just didn't want to immediately
like, oh, it's over, have a nice day, bye. No.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
I think the biggest debate, or I guess not debate, but a thing that we talk a lot about on our podcast is the sandbox. Like the big debate of if there should be a different sandbox between PvE and PvP.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And this is like the first time it's essentially started to happen with the stasis adjustments that they did, where there's things that are adjusted for PvP separate from PvE. And I personally think that's awesome. I know there's a lot of people that are like, it needs to be all natural. Like, we need to be able to have the gun do the same PvE as it does in PvP. But I'm in the realm of like, well, I don't want my PvE gun that is a beast and perfect in PvE to get nerfed just so somebody in PvP can have it to work the right way. So I've always been kind of that boat. Like, that's like a big thing that I'm just hoping happens. I hope eventually the PvP and PvE sandboxes are different, because I don't really think it's going to actually hurt anything. Like, I want to still feel like a mega, like, crazy god powered guardian in PvE, but then I want to feel leveled with everyone. I want to feel like there's like a sort of competitive leveling in PvP that's not like something's broken, like stasis, which is still kind of broken even though they fixed a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah, we hear that. And no, I think we both agree with you on that. Do you think, even stasis aside, do you generally like where the PvP sandbox is as far as how abilities and supers get mixed in, or would you even like that to be pulled back, or maybe even a different game mode that's like gunplay only?
Yeah, I'm more in that. I'm like, I would love to feel what gunplay only would be in this game, just because I really love the gunplay in this game. But I wish that there wasn't stasis, because I think the sandbox for everything else is super even right now. There's just so many times that I'm like, man, if that wasn't stasis, I would have got the kill, or we would have won the round. Not just like as an excuse, but just straight up as like a different super I could have handled in a specific way. Whereas it's difficult to handle a super where you just get frozen. you can't really get around it in some ways. Even with like, I don't know. Yeah, I wish that we could see this specific meta like felt like without stasis in it, or like a way where we could play in like I would love like specific game modes where, because first there's a lot of stuff obviously that they could do with PvP. That's the big thing right now, is like, come on, let's do something different in PvP. Like, give us map voting, or give us subclass voting, where like you could go into a playlist that's only solar, or a playlist that's only stasis, or a subclass, or a playlist that's like just like something where there's a little bit more customization to the competitive end. Cause it's tough. It's tough to do competitive like esports PvP right now, because scrims are your best bet, but it's still tough. Cause then there's like 50 rules that you have to figure out and remember. Cause my friend Maddox, who's one of our hosts for the Destiny Nerds podcast, he's like one of the spearheads for community scrims. People love doing them because, dude, people love like to go watch someone stream and then get in their raffle and then go play against other people, because there's so many competitive players. I mean, you look at the biggest playlists on this game, it's like Valorant and like Warzone. Like, people just want to win stuff and be the best at it. It's tough to do that in Destiny because it's so imbalanced in some ways. So that's kind of where I'm at.
So I've heard, even though I'm not as big of a PB player myself, but I totally try to appreciate and hear what other people are saying. And I think that all makes sense.
Heck yeah. Other than that, no, like I'm excited for another season. I can't wait to see. I saw that they had like a Destiny community. I don't know why they call it a Destiny community summit, because they don't invite the whole community, they invite specific people, but they had like some summit. I get butthurt about that stuff. I'm like, come on with that. Don't call it a community. Because then specific people, I'm pumped that people got to go to it, but then it's like people just tweet about it. And then I'm over here. This is what I'm saying. Here's my mental health problems. I'm like, jealous. I shouldn't be jealous about that. I should be hyped that somebody got to go to that.
I get it. Yeah.
But at the same time, like, dang, why is it called the community where you have like your community's not actually there? Just like,
where's my community at?
Yeah. So I get why they do that. I mean, they can't have 500 people in a Zoom call or whatever. From what the Grenader Jake said, that it's looking good in the future. And I love that dude, so I trust him. So I'm excited to see what's coming up in the future. Like, I'm so excited for whatever's coming. I hate how long we have till like next. What is it, 2022 for the
next big DLC? Oh, yeah.
Gosh. Yeah.
Probably so January, February, March, somewhere right around there.
It might make it so I actually have to go try some other games, which would be great because I do like to play other games. I just, Destiny sucks me in every time. There's always something I'm trying to finish on there. But I have my last seal done next week. So then I've been trying to do some Assassin's. I want to play the new Assassin's Creed game because I bought it.
I love it. I have it. I recommend it.
Oh, heck yeah. I have it. My only problem is I bought it. Dude, I have two Ubisoft accounts for some reason. And for some reason, I bought it. So I'm trying to get it transferred to my regular Ubisoft account. Mm-hmm. So I haven't played it yet, but I definitely try. Because I tend to buy a bunch of games and then never play them because of Destiny. I will be like, all right, I'm ready to play it. And then season starts. So I'm like, just kidding. I guess I'm going to get my power level up or do this new seal that means nothing.
Sucks
but
you right in.
Yep. It just pulls me right back every time.
Well, bonus question. We like to ask guests towards the end of the show. You can go any way with this that you want. Tell us about a favorite dessert that you might have.
Favorite dessert. I don't like sweets very much, but I will tell you, I have one dessert that I could eat like a million trillion of. It's cream puffs, like the little ones that you get in the pat, not like big giant cream puffs from like general stores or anything. The little small ones. Oh man, I love those so much.
And those are generally cold, right? Is that
Yeah. They start out in the freezer, and then you have to let them thaw out. I don't like to eat them when they're frozen because it's kind of weird. But like when they thaw out, it's like real soft and puffy.
Yeah,
gosh, they're dangerous. I could eat like 30 of them. My wife gets them for me for my birthday every year, and I like destroy them instantly.
Well, we just like to have a fun compilation of what everyone likes. So I appreciate it.
Kind of makes me hungry now.
Yeah.
It always makes us hungry. We're talking about it.
Now I want some cream puffs. I had one yesterday. It was delicious.
The kids did have a lot of candy for Easter. I mean, I could help them out with that.
There you go.
Excellent. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. We are I'm sure our community is going to love this episode, and we want everyone to know about whatever you are doing. So any deets, any Twitter, Twitch that you want to give out, now's your time to do this, and everyone can follow you.
Yeah. Well, first, thanks for having me. This is super fun. I love doing this kind of stuff. Chatting on podcasts is fun, but you can find me like right now. It'll be sporadic on Twitch, but if you want to come follow me on Twitch, it's a super fun, like chill environment where we just hang out and play Destiny. It's called twitch.tv/beardedluke on Fridays, which I might still be doing this on Fridays. I actually do Pokemon rip and ships. So on Friday nights, I have a variety of Pokemon packs for sale. People can buy them and then I open them live on then I mail them to you the next week. So I do that right now. I do that every Friday. That's like my like outside of Destiny content, but it's fun.
That's cool.
And then I have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/beardedluke. That's where I actually will be continuing to put stuff there. Cause like for me, it's a lot easier. Like streaming on Twitch at night, you know, that no matter what takes 5 hours or whatever, it's 4 hours to do. Whereas like I can do YouTube at any time. I can do that while I'm working. So I post right now. I put Pokemon videos and tech related videos are going to be on there. And then you can follow me on Twitter just @TheBeardedLuke because Bearded Luke is taken and I've been trying to, I message them once a week asking if I can have, and they never, their username, but they never respond.
Yeah, we know how that goes, right?
Yeah, I'd really like it, but it's okay. So yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm on TikTok too, but that's just Pokemon. I put a bunch of Pokemon videos there. Like I open Pokemon packs and
so. Yeah, I'll follow you. Yeah.
Bearded Luke.
I like watching animal TikToks, so I'm in there occasionally.
TikTok is very dangerous. I watch that all the stinking time.
Right. I think we're all in that same boat.
Yeah. I was like a Vine kid.
Mm-hmm.
I hated TikTok because it was so lame at the beginning. It's so cringy, but I feel like it's really evolved into like TikTok, or not, it is TikTok, into Vine kind of videos. If you like the right videos and get your like feed set up right, you can get some pretty good, some funny stuff. I'm like cracking up on there all the time. But yeah, that's where you can find me. Those are all the spots. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for letting me, you know, come on and just chat about like a bunch of random stuff. I feel like I barely talked about Destiny, but that's
seriously,
okay.
No,
that just means you guarantee coming on again later, because that gives you, we can talk about that then.
Deal. I'll come on whenever you want. You just let me know. I was pumped when I got the message. Heck yeah. I don't like, I've done a few podcasts, but whenever I get to be on them, it's just fun. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, Sin, where can people find you?
You can find me on the Discord as Sin, or over on Twitter at Sin_media. And I did happen to stream yesterday for the Grandmaster, because I'm in the same boot as you, Luke. I started and kind of like, nah, and I haven't really done it. I used to do it on the weekends, but I kind of don't do it anymore. I have it up when I need to, if somebody wants to watch, but for the most part, not stressing about it. So, yeah. Kingsley MacDaddy, where can they find you?
Yes, you can find me as Kingsley Mac, not Kingsley MacDaddy. But yeah, you can find me as that all the places. And on Twitch, where I stream mostly, occasionally, just while I'm raiding. It's the only reason really why I stream, but I still have fun doing that. People can watch that. And unfortunately, though, on Twitter, that is the one place where I have a different name. It's actually MC Kingsley, because Kingsley Mac was already taken when I changed my branding. Boo-hoo.
Rip.
Rip. That's right. But enough about me. You can find our show in many different places. Of course, all the podcast apps. You can find us on Twitter under our Twitter tag as The Guardian Hub. Or you can find us on our lovely website, theguardianhub.com.
Ooh, the best hub on the net.
Excellent. Well, again, we really thank everyone for tuning in this week. And we want to give a special, special thanks to Bearded Luke from the Destiny Nerds podcast for joining us this week.
Yes, thank you for joining in on our unscripted, unplanned shenanigans.
Of course. Anytime, guys. I'll come back if you have me.
For sure. Absolutely. We will. And at that, we will catch you all again next week. Goodbye.
Later.